Hello, and welcome to the Should I Go See It podcast, where every other Friday we take a deeper dive into the one-sentence reviews on shouldigoseeit.com. This week we'll be discussing Long Legs and Twisters. I'm your host, Bill George. With me, as always, AJ Rebecki and super producer Craig Stanton.
Hello.
Hey-o.
How are we doing, folks?
Good. How are you, Bill?
You guys got that in unison. Nice job.
That was. I didn't like it. I'm good, Bill. How are you?
I'm good. AJ, doing well. Not a whole lot to report, I'll be honest. What's new with you?
Nothing. You know, same old, doing dad stuff. Your Love tummy that. Feel better? You had a little tummy trouble the other day, didn't you? Huh, didn't you, big guy?
I was a little under the weather the other day, yeah.
What happened? Do you know? Was it... It was the ice cream cone, didn't it? Is that what did you in?
I did make a stop. I have not had a lot of summer activities this summer. Like, I haven't been to the beach yet. I haven't done anything. And I was craving some soft serve, and I found a soft serve place near me, and I gave it a whirl, found out the medium, a little too big, got to go on the small next time. But I ate the whole thing, because you got to get to the bottom of the cone, the last bite, that's the whole point.
Yes.
So I force-fed myself the ice cream, and the next morning I got to work and threw up right in the, right in the bathroom there.
Yeah.
You're joking.
Sure I kid crazy? You not.
He thought it was a quesadilla, rally? But I zoomed in. The quesadilla looked good. Look cooked.
Thank you. I did make a hell of a quesadilla recently also.
Did you, the people need to know, did you rally or did you boot
and leave?
You
didn't fucking rally?
No, I mean, I stuck it out for a while, but then I was just feeling weak and depleted and I was like, I'm out of here.
Weak and depleted.
On the opposite side.
Yeah.
I've eaten so much ice cream this past 3 weeks.
Really?
I mean, I'm going 2 to 3 times a week and getting a double scoop every single time I go.
What's the flavor?
I have two go-tos. This has been ice cream talk.
Yep.
The base is always a chocolate dipped waffle cone. That's always the base.
Sure.
And then it's either 2 scoops of black raspberry rolled in chocolate jimmies.
Yep.
Or
sprinkles, I think is the preferred term these days.
It's actually
you fuck.
I have researched this extensively. Jimmy's is not racist.
Because I texted Bill about it, and I said, is this racist? And it's not.
It's not. It's a myth.
Because the guy who made it, his name was Jimmy.
It's from the Just Born Incorporated Company, and the inventor was named James Bartholomew, and just thus they named them Jimmy's after their creator.
Why don't they call them Barties?
I don't know that part, Craig. All I know is this whole thing about...
Tholomews.
This whole thing about...
Hey, can
racism
you roll my cone in a couple of... Can you roll my cone in Tholomews,
you guys got chocolate bodies? Just the rainbow ones? Never mind.
Yeah, anyway, that's okay. All the racism thing's a myth. You can call them Jimmy's. Go on.
All right, understood. I'll take it from these guys.
Black raspberry, 2 scoops, rolled in Jimmy's. Or bottom scoop, cow prints, which is their version of Moose Tracks. And then the top is Oreo coffee Oreo.
Wow.
Rolled in Jimmy's.
Wow.
And I've been doing that.
What a mix.
Three times a week. Getting the fucking chins.
Can we go back to Bill's soft serve experience? I need to know.
Yeah, he didn't puke from the soft serve. Like,
No. I just need to know. So you drove to the soft serve place. Did you take it in the Tesla, bring it home, sit at a picnic table by yourself and just house it right there?
I sat at the tables outside and I ate the ice cream.
Okay, I'm just trying
to picture
it.
Beautiful summer day.
I'm just trying to picture it, that's all.
Just a guy, myself and I.
Just a guy with his mouth over a cone.
Yeah, let me live, Greg.
Thinking about Glenn Powell.
I'm trying to live my truth.
Are you a biter or a licker when it comes to soft serve?
I mix up the technique.
I'm a big time biter.
My two front teeth feel nothing anymore. I am just an ultimate
ice
cream
chomper. Well, yeah,
you're
getting hard ice cream. Yeah, I mean, that's going to happen. That's going to happen.
Wow.
Oh, great.
What I would have paid to see you just on a park bench by yourself just gumming a fucking ice cream cone.
Why is that so hard to believe?
I don't know. It's just funny to think about. All right, Bill.
Anyway.
What have you been watching? Did you watch anything?
I did, AJ. I did. I don't know if you've been keeping up with current events, but recently, since our last broadcast, there was an assassination attempt on a former president, and that got me thinking. And so I rewatched Valkyrie, which was the Bryan Singer-directed Tom Cruise movie about the assassination attempt on Hitler.
Oh, yeah.
Movie I've always really liked. gave it a rewatch, still really enjoy it. It's made like a really nice like heist movie style.
Yeah.
It's historically accurate for the most part. They may have Tom Cruise in there playing Lieutenant Stauffenberg, who is just no accent, doesn't matter. He's just Tom Cruise, and it just still works. And I just love that about the movie. I love the boldness of it. So anyway, Valkyrie, if you haven't seen it, it's I always enjoyed it.
Sidebar, speaking of ice creams and Bryan Singer, isn't he like a known pedophile?
Yeah, he's
out, right?
Out of the biz, basically. Yeah.
Okay. That's what I thought.
Yeah.
He was like, he was doing stuff.
Doesn't feel like we need to get into this.
Yeah, it is what it is. He's out. But the point is.
Oh, we can cut this.
Yeah. But no, it's a movie I've always enjoyed, and I just felt like I should go back to it just based on what was going on in the world, and had a good time watching it. And then the other thing I watched was The Harder They Fall, which is a Netflix movie from a couple years ago that I missed with Idris Elba and Craig's guy, Lakeith Stanfield's in it, Regina King.
Oh, wow.
And yeah, it's like a Western, and I enjoyed it. It was good. It's a classic Western, but also with classic Western in terms of story, but made in modern filmmaking technique with some modern music and like a kind of a twist on it. And it was good. I enjoyed it.
Love that.
What about you?
In advance of today's podcast, I watched Twisters. Twister? It's Twister was Twister. The original one. Yes. I watched Twister.
As did I.
Fucking what a just A+ summer blockbuster. Few things. Acting out of this world. Mm-hmm. Visual effects aged like milk.
Not the best.
Yeah.
Not the best when you watch it now.
And apparently you told me that that you heard that the iTunes one that we bought was 4K remastered and then they did something with the special effects. I couldn't tell.
I did not.
I'm not sure, but man, that was the roughest part. Everything else, my God.
Yeah, so it's good. It's a hell of a movie. And I knew that the cast was stacked, but watching it again now, it was even more stacked than I remembered. Just some of the best character actors and actors of the time, all in one movie.
Yep.
And what I loved about, and I'll talk about this a little bit when we get to Twisters, but what I loved about Twister is how like just real and lived in it feels, and how it's all show, don't tell. And you're just like entering this world with these characters that are already established. And there's none of the like weird exposition of, remember when we were in college and blah, blah, blah. Like you don't have any of that. You're just thrown into it. You got to figure it out.
You've entered the friends group and you're just trying to figure out who's who. Yep.
And you can do it magnificently because of the storytelling. So yeah, phenomenal film.
Yep. A+. And it was, I think I got it for $4.99 on iTunes. $5.
Yeah, great.
Hell of
great
a deal.
Great deal.
Gregory?
Well, I did watch a movie over the last couple weeks. That movie, me and KP, friend of the show, my wife, watched Anyone But You. Glenn Powell's Anyone But You, rom-com that Bill really liked. Bill,
I did.
I correct in that assessment?
I enjoyed it. I thought it was like an early 2000s style rom-com that I had a lot of fun watching. And I thought Powell and Sweeney had some great chemistry.
I'll tell you what. I won't argue with you on the Powell and Sweeney chemistry point, because the only parts of this movie I enjoyed were scenes with only the two of them.
Yeah, that's fair.
One else. Because, boy, the entire supporting cast, and there's not even that many of them. It's like 10 people are in the whole movie. I can't believe you gave this movie a yes with how bad the writing and the supporting acting is. It's just like, it's that thing, maybe this is a me problem, but like, I can't watch award shows. I can't watch Good Morning America. I can't watch like just that kind of like weird, like happy, talky, Uncanny Valley, like Disney Channel way of like people interacting with each other. Am I crazy? Am I talking about this? Like watching a school play with like eighth graders, just like being weird. Like that's how this movie felt to me. It was like I was watching like a middle school drama camp.
It is. Yeah, it's certainly old-fashioned. That's what I mean when I say it's like feels like an early 2000s rom. Like it's a movie with a capital
M. But I've seen a lot of early 2000s rom-coms, and they don't all make me want to stick needles in my eyes.
You gotta give yourself over to it. You just gotta enter that world and enjoy. I enjoyed it. But I agree with you that their scenes together were dynamite. Like that is the crux of the movie. Everything else is lesser. There's no, I would not argue that one bit. But I thought that was enough to give the yes. I don't think the side cast being annoying was enough to knock me out of it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'll say, it's not my genre of choice. My wife loves a rom-com. KP loved this movie, had a blast, was laughing out loud within the first, two scenes. The scene he's buying her the coffee, like, right off the top. She's, like, in the bathroom spilling water on herself, doing all sorts of hijinks. That physical had her comedy rolling, and she was, bit the hook, right away.
Yep.
So she had a blast. So that's positive.
That's great. Also, sneaky Boston movie. Did you notice that? Like
I
one scene in Boston,
three throwaway skyline shots.
Yes,
and then they're boom, Australia.
Off to Australia. Yeah. Oh well. They made enough money to make a sequel, so sounds like they might do that, and maybe we'll get more Boston. We'll see.
God bless them.
All right.
Okay.
AJ.
Well. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What's in the news? Let's see what is in the news.
Well, Bill, the nominees for the 76th Annual Primetime Emmy Awards have officially been announced. The ceremony will be held in September, and the nominations were dominated by a handful of shows with multiple nods. The Bear has 23 nominations, while Shogun has 25. Bill, shit. Looking at the nominees, what stands out the most to you?
To me, the thing that always stands out about the Emmys, and we talk about this every year, is how behind they are. So this is going to be in September. We have already watched, finished, and discussed The Bear Season 3, but all of these nominations are for The Bear Season 2, which feels like eons ago.
Mm-hmm.
So that's odd to me. The other thing while we're on The Bear is the Thanksgiving episode, which I personally despised, is like one of the most nominated episodes of television ever, including a ton of supporting actor guests. Oh, is it Christmas? I'm sorry.
Yeah, Fishes.
The holiday episode.
Fishes. Name it what it is. It's Fishes.
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 Again, didn't care for it, but it has a zillion nominations. So there's that. That stood out to me.
Mm-hmm.
But I think overall, I think honestly, it feels to me, I didn't watch a ton of this, so it's hard for me to get too specific, but it feels kind of like a weak year. Like when I look at best drama series, like not a lot of the shows I have seen, they're fine. Like Gilded Age, I like. Fallout, I liked. Shogun, I would say I really liked. Three Body Problem, I had many issues with. Not a lot is like jumping out at me as like, man, what a year for TV. Like I feel like last year we had Melissa on the show. We went through everything and it seemed like a much more competitive year last year to me.
Are you kidding me?
But maybe I'm wrong. Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
Tell me I'm wrong.
Yeah. I mean, The Bear, we both watched, loved. Shogun, we both watched, we loved. Two amazing shows. Fallout, we both absolutely incredibly watched. We both loved and watched completely. Three Body Problem, we watched and binged in like 24 hours. Yeah, we had problems with it, but like it was good enough for us to watch it more and more and more. Like, I feel like that's pretty fucking good.
I guess. I don't know. But none of those jump out at me as like, oh my God, best TV show of the year. Like none of them. You know what I mean? They don't have that cachet to me from what I've seen. They're good.
Can the Emmys do the thing? Like, remember when Apple wanted to get the iPhone X out for the 10-year anniversary, so they just skipped the iPhone 9? The iPhone 9 never existed. They just went right from 8 to 10. Can we do that with the Emmys? Can we just, like, delete 2024 or whatever, and so that the 2025 Emmys are actually about shows that are in 2025? Like, how did this happen? How did we get here? Do we need to just delete a year from history to get it synced?
The problem is it's... I mean, I don't know. I'd have to look at schedules and figure out when the Emmys, what the range is for when their nomination window is and when the shows start. So many different shows come out at so many different times. I don't know. It does feel like a mess, though. Or they at least need to move the show up in the calendar year somehow.
Do something, yeah.
Yeah, it's bizarre. It's bizarre.
I don't know. There was a joke online that Bob Odenkirk had never won an Emmy for Better Call Saul, but he'll win one for... being in a
in Fishes
cook uncle for in a cooking show for 15 minutes
taking like 100 takes of John Barenthal throwing a fork at him.
That would be funny.
Yeah, I mean, like, there's stuff here. Like, I don't think it's extremely weak. I just think it's we've moved on.
Yeah, maybe that's part of it. Is there's there usually when the Oscars are rolling around, you know, the nominations are in January, February, whatever, and the biggest movies for prestige had come out in December. So like there's a recency thing for the Oscars maybe versus this is again, these all feel old.
Yeah, I don't remember shit about most of this stuff, but
exactly. So I'm underwhelmed. Underwhelmed, I would say for myself.
Underwhelmed. Okay. Okay.
AJ, also in the news, we finally have a conclusion to the criminal case against Alec Baldwin in the Rust shooting.
Okay.
The judge has dismissed the involuntary manslaughter case against Alec Baldwin and dismissed it with prejudice.
Ooh.
And the with prejudice part of that ruling means that the case against Baldwin is essentially finished. He cannot be retried criminally.
Wow.
Though it does sound like a civil trial may occur based from the widow of the victim. That might be on the horizon. But AJ, we avoided kind of reporting on this story until it was concluded because it's been, 2 years now of investigation and trials. But now it's essentially over. Alec Baldwin will not be held liable for the death of the cinematographer in that film. What are your takeaways?
Probably the dumbest thing I've ever experienced in my entire life.
Yeah. You mean specifically Baldwin being people thinking that Baldwin should be held accountable,
thing, right? Yeah, like, and when you think of it like this, I don't know how clear it could be. Alec Baldwin's job is to act, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
The armorer's job, that Hannah Gutierrez Reed woman, her job is to make sure that all the firearms on set are safe.
Yep.
And ready to be used.
Are not, in fact, firearms.
Yeah, right. That aren't working firearms and there's no live ammunition in it. It's Alec Baldwin's job to act. He was handed a gun, which he thought was a prop, and he was acting his way through his job and shot somebody. Horrible. But like the fact that he was tried for this, I get it. He pulled the trigger. But like you need to look at the situation this existed. It was... He was handed a piece of machinery from someone whose job it was to make sure that machinery was safe. And it wasn't.
Yeah.
And then you hear about the stories. Have you heard of the stories about this armorer on set, this Hannah Gutierrez Reed woman?
I mean, I've just heard the, because she was found.
Like, you know, she was doing finger twirls with like old revolvers and stuff and like gun tricks. Yeah. And it was just madness. And like they let it slide and someone died because of it. But the fact that they try to charge or, you know, have a criminal case against Alec Baldwin when he had nothing to do with this, except for being the middleman who's probably going to feel like shit for the rest of his life because he killed a person. I mean, there's no winners here.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's crazy that it had to come to this 3 years later. Yeah. 3 years later. That's my take.
Yeah. I have a very similar take. I mean, he is doing his job. And I mean, according to him, he didn't even pull the trigger. He aimed it at the camera per direction, cocked the hammer back per direction, which, again, it's a Western. Like, that's a classic thing that's going to happen. And then he says the gun went off. Some people say pull the trigger. But to me, that doesn't matter. What if the direction was to pull the trigger? Then it would have been the same situation. Like, and he would have been and that would have been fine. Like, it's not like he was pointing the gun at people and being reckless and like whatever, like that would be a whole other situation. He just, you know, the armor was supposed to do their job. Then you have this other person, I think was assistant director, who allegedly said like cold gun and like gave it to him. Like, what do we expect actors now to inspect the weapons? Like, what are they going to look for? That's not like, it's not their job. It is not their job. I didn't get into the super granular details of it, but an actor being held accountable for something like that when they were doing everything within their normal parameters of their role is absurd to me. And again, whether he pulled the trigger, didn't pull the trigger, if the scene called for it or didn't call for it, like, I don't, to me, there's no difference. Like, he held the weapon that should have been empty or whatever the case may be.
Yeah.
So I'm glad that it was thrown out because I don't think he should be held for that. And it sounds like justice was generally served. But yeah, well, nightmare
again,
scenario.
There's no winners here, right?
Yeah, like, it's a disaster regardless.
He killed a person. Someone died.
It's awful.
It's awful all around. But the whole trial thing and then just...
Well, it'll be a case discussed in law school classes for generations to come, I'm sure.
Yeah, yeah, it's a mess. It's a mess. But that is the conclusion of the criminal portion for Alec Baldwin. So
yeah,
see what happens after that.
Let's see what happens to Karen Reed next. All right, Bill, this week we'll be talking about two films, Long Legs, like Daddy Long Legs?
Chill Daddy.
Not quite.
No? And no. Twisters, in parentheses, live Q&A. So let's go to Long Legs first. According to IMDb.com, in pursuit of a serial killer, an FBI agent uncovers a series of occult clues that she must solve to end his terrifying killing spree. Bill, should I go see it?
Yes.
Yeah.
AJ, you specifically should go see it, but also everyone should go see it.
I'm not a big, like, you know me, I'm not like super scary movie guy.
It's not necessarily super scary. What I would say to describe it is essentially taking the A24, it's not from A24 to be clear, it's from Neon, but it's got that A24 feel of an elevated horror movie and aesthetic, but applies it to a story that's a lot more old school detective thriller like Silence of the Lambs or Seven. It's like classic, like clues getting dropped, detective trying to figure it out, following all the leads, going into scary places with just a flashlight. But it also has that overall kind of dread-inducing aesthetic of something like Hereditary or Midsommar or whatever.
Okay.
And I think it's brilliant. I think that concept of melding those two types of horror movies together is going to be copied for the next few years. Like, it's just astounding.
Is this movie on your top list of the year?
It'll make an honorable mention at the very least if it doesn't end up making it in my top list, probably. Like, it's really, I thought it was very well done. It also comes from a writer director, which we see all the time when there's that kind of cohesion of vision from the person who wrote it, also directing it and bringing it to life, especially in smaller genre movies like this. It just works really well. And so everything is clicking into place. Everything's
on point.
You can't
really trust those people, though, those writer and directors from in the horror space. They just sit around being like, hey, how can I kill my neighbor? That'd be really cool. And then they write a movie about it.
Yeah, well, I mean, they're doing some of the best work there is out there, AJ. I don't know what to tell you.
God's work. Okay, anyways.
But here's a question. Yeah, go ahead.
Do I have to see it in the theaters? Like, is it a movie theater experience, or will it work just as well in the comfort of my own home with like a baseball bat next to me?
It depends on how disciplined you are with the viewing experience at home. If you're at home and you're able to turn the phone off, turn the lights out, and like lock in, then
that's
sure.
That's how I do it. I'm not but like Craig. I don't have like a floodlight in my fucking living room.
Buddy, I'm not watching this movie no matter how many lights are fucking on, so just forget about that.
That's going to, if like the phone rings in the middle, you're going to get thrown out of it. Like, it is a very... to your love, AJ, ambiance. It's a very ambiance-centric movie where you got to be like in it. There's some your standard creepy investigation stuff. There's a couple jump scares thrown in. But it's a similar tone to what you would expect from like an Ari Aster movie. But it adds in clues and notes and ciphers like you're watching a fucking detective movie from the 70s, which I love. Wow. So it all kind of brilliantly comes together. Music, visuals, performances. Maika Monroe, I hope I'm saying that right, stars as Agent Harker. And so she, to kind of give baseline story, she has a certain instinct or an intuition when it comes to hunting down killers. Mm. And so she's put on this case, the Long Legs case, which has been confounding the FBI for years. And she starts looking at it, and then we're kind of off to the races. You have Nick Cage as advertised as the killer. And he's super, super creepy and Nick Cagey. And like, there's a lot of hype around him in the role because he's doing a role that is at once it's Nick Cagey, but at the same time, it's something different for him. So he's great. He's phenomenal at being a creep in this case. He nailed it. 10 out of 10. It's just a perfect little horror movie. It doesn't overstay its welcome. It hits every right note. It all works. I thought it was fantastic.
No notes?
I do not really have any notes. My only notes are for the old guy next to me whose phone went off multiple times.
Oh, no.
Ruining the movie for most of us, myself included, because it did take me out of it. Super frustrating. and he's next to me, and I'm trying to deal with it. I got the people in the audience are like screaming back at him. I'm right next to him.
What did he say?
Screaming back at him?
Yeah, because like, shut off your phone. His phone went off, which like happens once early on.
We talking text or like full phone call?
Oh
like,
no, what full fucking classic Verizon ringtone. It's a flip phone, mind you. It goes off.
He was probably the killer.
Fully rings, and people are like yelling, like turn it off, like that thing. And then it rings again 10 seconds later. So he picks it up in the movie theater and says, don't call me, I'm in a movie. And where everyone is just fucking losing it. And I'm right next to him. Finally, he hangs up. And then 30 minutes later, it rings again. And I literally turn to him. I was like, turn it off. And he's like, I don't know how. It's a fucking shit show. And when he gets up to leave and tries to hobble out of the theater, a woman from five rows up turns around and is like, was it your phone going off? And she chases him down and tells the usher. And then he just runs to his car. It was a complete shit show.
What?
Distracted from the entire movie.
Was he like old? Like, I feel bad for you old?
A little bit. Like, very like hunched over. Can't like, just trying to get the hell out of Dodge.
Oh my God.
It was awful. What was the usher going to do?
Like, nothing. They don't do anything. What the fuck do they care? Sorry. Movie's already over at that point.
Excuse me.
But she complained about the fact his phone went off multiple times.
Yeah, because she probably wanted free tickets.
I should have told him, give me the phone because I will turn it off for you and then I'll fucking turn it back on for you after.
It to the fucking exit way down in the, near the screen.
I would have snapped that thing in half if I really wanted to. But
after
yeah.
the live show, we know where all the fire exits are. Now you're just thrown into the woods.
And the rat traps.
Yeah. So anyway, so it should be a theater experience. Just I hope you don't get my theater experience because that was an absolute nightmare.
Wow. Another story with no winners. Jesus.
Yeah, for real.
Is it in 4x3 or is it like normal?
So actually, it's funny you mention that because the very opening, the cold open sequence is like in a square format. And I was like, oh God, this is going to be bad. But once they get past the cold open and they go to the regular movie, it's normal. That's ratio.
Okay. All right. Let's
But
talk
I was prepared.
About...
I was prepared to tell you how much you were going to hate 4x3.
Let's talk about Twisters, plural. According to IMDb.com, a retired tornado chaser and meteorologist is persuaded to return to Oklahoma to work with a new team and new technologies. Bill? Yeehaw! Should I go see it?
Yes, AJ, but before we can really talk about Twisters, we got to get in the right mood here. Craig, could you hit the music for me? Thanks. Yeah! Wranglings of tornadoes, baby. Woo! Woo! Here we go.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. Oh, so good.
Bill has adorned a cowboy hat.
He's got a cowboy hat on.
On top of his headphones.
What a movie. Soundtrack.
Hell yeah,
fire.
Brother. You like gladiator movies and cats rubbing against your legs? You like when your stepdaddy comes home a little tuned up and says he's got something for you?
Oh my God. Anyway. AJ, it's a great movie. You really need to see it as a fan of the original.
Did you see it in 4DX?
No, there is no 4DX near us. I wish.
Oh man.
I have heard that the 4DX experience is incredible.
Yeah, I was watching a bunch of like Vine memes. I don't even fucking know what they're called. The people like before. This is me before I saw Twisters in 4DX, and it's like afterwards, and like the guy had like a 2x4 through his stomach, and he was like covered in fucking dirt, and I was dying laughing. Okay, that's funny. See it in IMAX?
I did see it in IMAX.
Okay,
and I
was
saw
it good.
It. Yeah, it is good. It's good. It is. Okay. It is a entertaining summer blockbuster. In the best possible ways.
Capital B.
And I saw it in IMAX, and it was a special early screening that included a live Q&A with the stars and the director that was like, you know, via satellite into all the different theaters that were showing it at the time.
Oh, so that doesn't really count.
Well, I mean, it was live where it was
recurring. They couldn't see. It's not like
No, Glenn Powell did not show up in Somerville, Massachusetts.
No. What I'm saying is, like, it's not like it was like a Zoom call with your theater where he was on the other end and he could like wave to you. It was like a fucking. They say it was live Q&A, but they were
in their own theater and they were taking questions. There was a QR code you could scan in the opening to like send your questions. They took a couple questions. They shouted out whatever theater the person was in that sent the question. It was pretty cool.
Okay. Did you ask a question?
I did. It didn't get answered though. But it was cool. It was a cool experience. The director had some really interesting insights. The host of it actually did a surprisingly good job, because hosting these types of things is kind of a thankless job. It's kind of like a referee. Like, if you don't, as long as you don't get noticed, as long as you make it through. And a lot of times it can be really awkward, but she actually did a really nice job. So it was fun. It's certainly better than watching trailers. It did delay the start more than trailers. Like, it was like, sure, 30 to 40 minute endeavor.
Oh, okay.
Because they start a little bit late, because obviously I'm sure they're setting up the live shit, and then they do the Q&A, and then they cut from that, and then it goes right to the movie. But anyway, cool experience. Got to see the movie early. Saw it in IMAX. It's great.
Okay.
The movie itself. Yeah. Oh, go ahead.
I got a few questions. Yeah. They drive Ford, Chevy, or Dodge?
I don't know, AJ.
Okay. Second question. Is there a bad guy? I know we like the weather is the bad guy, but is there like a...
Sure. God.
Yeah. Is it God?
God's the bad guy.
Is there like a competing storm chasing group?
Yes. Yes. There are
storm
chasers. Yep.
The answer to your first question is Dodge, by the way, AJ. I've just looked at
it. They drive Dodges?
There you go.
You know what they say about Dodge trucks and Fords? Rather be stroking than coming.
What?
Nope, it's the other way around.
I don't know what we're doing anymore.
I don't even understand the joke. It's either
because,
way.
It, because
yeah, either way.
Ford makes the power stroke engine and Dodge makes the Cummins diesel. And the joke is, I'd rather be coming than stroking. Here we go, boys. Yeah.
Regulus and Tornadoes.
I got my Cummins diesel, and I'm hard as a motherfucking rock.
Turn that Doppler on, baby.
Show me that weather, Jesus.
Woo!
Okay, second question.
This is what happens when you show up 5 minutes late to the podcast recording, AJ. Bill and I think of bits.
We planned this whole thing. Scheming.
Do they do In Memory of Paxton?
No.
Classless fucks.
No connection to the original Twister.
Not even Helen Hunt?
Wait for that. Do not wait for any sort of a connection or a surprise. This is a standalone story. The main character's mother's in the movie, and I know I get the feeling some people are like waiting to see if it's Helen Hunt. I'm just going to tell you now, it's not. It's played by Maura Tierney, who's great.
Oh, God damn it. She's so good.
She's so good.
All right, what doesn't work about this movie? Can't just be all Glenn Powell.
No. There's issues, AJ. There's issues for sure.
Tell me about them.
So, I mean, first of all, it opens with a painful exposition scene that introduces us to our heroine and her haunted past, if that sounds familiar to the original Twister.
That's exactly what happens. Yep.
Yep. And then she stops chasing the storms after that tragedy, and then, of course, is eventually pulled back in. And then she crosses paths with Tyler Owens, played by Glenn Powell, the Tornado Wrangler, and hijinks ensue. But the writing is super hit or miss. Like, the quality of the writing is like whiplash, scene to scene. Some scenes work amazingly, and it feels kind of like Top Gun Maverick or like a really good legacy sequel, and it hits perfectly. And then some scenes are so clunky, and it feels straight out of a 2000s B movie. Like, the inconsistency was what was infuriating, because the stuff that worked so damn well, and the stuff that didn't was like, oh my God, what is this? So it was definitely a mixed bag, and the writing in particular was the weakest point. And that unfortunately crossed over to Daisy as Edgar Jones as the main character. I feel like she was given a disservice based on the writing. Like, her character is basically whatever the writer needs her to be in that scene. Like, maybe a stronger actress could have sold it, but honestly, I think the problem is more on the page. So I feel bad for her. Because it doesn't have the same naturalism as that of that first Twister, like we talked about, where that feels a lot more lived in. This feels more like movie, capital M movie.
Yeah.
So yeah, so it's a mixed bag, but the effects are great, obviously. And Glenn Powell makes the movie. Like, I'm not just saying that because I want to have his adopted babies. I'm saying that because he's got fucking charm, magnetism, but also a sense of humanity. Like, he's the fucking best. And his scenes with him and Daisy were felt more like a rom-com. And, like, he makes the movie go. And so, yeah, I enjoyed the hell of it. I had a big grin on my face whenever he was on screen. It's great.
This is a movie you have to watch. You have to watch in the theaters, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And I would definitely recommend IMAX if you can.
Okay.
Or 40X if you can, I guess. But yeah, it's the action's good. The effects are great. You'll love all the tornado stuff, obviously. It's badass. The soundtrack is also solid. Like, it really fits the movie, and they got a bunch of great music in there. So I actually enjoy that side of it.
Hell yeah, brother.
So yeah, not a perfect movie by any means, but it'll do just fine as a big summer blockbuster. Definitely worth a watch.
Did you how far in advance did you plan the cowboy hat thing with Craig?
4 minutes.
That today, 2 days ago?
Oh no, today. I had thought of it. I thought of it last week, but I didn't talk to Craig about it until right before.
Okay. What were you gonna say?
I was going to ask, so no connection to the original whatsoever. I feel like we should take a moment and give like a little snaps for that as a podcast that regularly complains about needless sequels, needless prequels, needless callbacks and connections to original material. I feel like we should just take a moment and say a little cowboy hat tip for that.
Yeah. I mean, there's one small connection with like some of the, like one of the props or whatever, but I get, as far as character wise and story wise, it's not connected.
What were the props? Twin tornadoes?
Twins. There's a reference to Dorothy and that mechanism, but that was it. Other than that, there's no real anything.
Like Wizard of Oz, Dorothy?
Was there a good food scene where they're
clearly
eating?
Clearly, you're unfamiliar with Twister lore.
Pan fried steaks?
No, they didn't have any of that.
No, that's stupid. Okay. A lot to go over in the Netflix and Bill segment.
All
so
right, let's get to it.
Why don't you start from the top? What are you watching?
Okay, couple quick things. First, I want to give a quick PSA because there's a couple movies that we've talked about that I've reviewed highly over the last year that are now making their way onto streamers. Okay. So Scrambled, which was a great comedy, and Eileen, which was a cool little thriller, are both now on Hulu. The Teacher's Lounge, which was the German movie that they put up for Best Foreign Language Film. Is now on Netflix. And then Men, which is a creepy Alex Garland movie, is now on Max. So if you're looking for anything to watch kind of outside of the usual, you could try to find those smaller movies on those services. Now, stuff that I've streamed recently, Space Cadet on Amazon Prime with Emma Roberts, because it's a space movie and I love space shit. Not that good. Big bummer, because it seemed like it's a fun setup for a comedy where her friend doctors her resume and gets her into like the NASA astronaut training program, and then hijinks ensue. And I think Emma Roberts is super talented and funny and interesting, but unfortunately she's just not being given many great roles. So that day will come, but not with this movie.
Okay.
And then I watched more space stuff, Wild Wild Space, an HBO documentary about Rocket Lab and a couple other small, not about SpaceX. It's more about smaller rocket companies that put satellites up, versus SpaceX is more about launching like giant things.
Sure. Yeah.
So it's about some competing companies doing that work. And I thought it was really interesting. I thought it was good. Gave it a yes. The only thing, weirdly, I normally never say this, this actually probably would have benefited from being a docuseries versus a documentary, because there's so many players involved. They could have done like a couple episodes on each company and then have like them all converge to some of the projects that they converge on.
Yeah.
It felt a little rushed as a documentary in some space. I wanted more detail. So my only note on that. And then I also watched Hate to Love Nickelback on Netflix, which is a documentary about Nickelback. It covers their rise and their fall and then the backlash and then the backlash of the backlash and then the rise again. And I found it very entertaining, very nice little time machine of the early 2000s. I enjoy, unironically, Nickelback, especially the first two albums when I was younger. I really enjoyed those.
Yeah, you would.
So I thought it was pretty cool. I will say, when it hits like the hour mark, like you're pretty much good. Like you're good to go. Like that's the end of the doc. Unfortunately, they spend 38 more minutes talking about the band more recently and health scares from different band members and like stuff that I really don't
care about. Yeah.
But the actual history of the band is pretty interesting. So the first hour, if you want to watch it, I would say do that.
Did they actually interview the band members?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. They interviewed the band, the band's family, like the whole thing.
Love that.
So I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it. You have a Netflix one as well, right?
Yeah, I half watched. My wife was watching it, and I kind of like ended up watching it. I watched A Family Affair on Netflix, the Zac Efron.
Yeah, Nicole Kidman, right?
Nicole Kidman.
Meh. I heard mixed reviews.
Just make an R. Just make it an R rom-com. Please, just make it fucking R.
They were like straddling that line.
They tried to, but it's just like you can't do what you want to do and be funny when you're PG-13 and are trying to do the things when your mom is banging your boss who's a movie star.
Yeah.
Just go all in.
It sounds like an R premise for sure.
That's exactly what it is. Yeah. And there was a couple funny moments, but like, skip.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Good to know.
Yeah. We both watched The Boys season 4 finale.
Fantastic.
My God.
I loved the finale because it does. Yeah, because they are fifth season will be the last season. So they're definitely moving things into place. I do feel like this season overall, the last few episodes were a little slow and they didn't really do much. And then they like cranked it up to 11 for the finale to like get all this plot in.
Yeah.
And so they probably could have spread it out. But that being said, as a finale, I thought it was great. And yep. I'm really excited for the last season.
Yeah, there was two. I would say there was two, maybe three. Oh, shit. Episodes in the entire season. The rest were, as we said in the last podcast, rinse and repeat.
Yeah,
kind of. MM's got a problem. Butcher gives him anxiety.
Yeah, they could have done it. Yeah.
And Andy needed to do this one last time. It's just bullshit. But yeah, the last one really set up this kind of oh shit finale, which won't be out for another 2 years, according to Carl Urban.
Brutal.
2026, we'll have The Boys and GTA. That's if like the nukes don't get us first.
Sure, sure.
All right, and then Bill, drum roll.
Can insert a drum roll? Do we have that ready? No. Okay.
You know what's funny?
What?
Now that I have the Riverside Media playback board up, I actually do have a drum roll.
Resourceful. Anyway,
do you also have a Arnold Schwarzenegger soundboard from like E-Bomb's World?
No, I don't have anything else.
I'm a cop idiot.
Get to the chopper.
Get to the chopper.
Anyway, what were we drum rolling, AJ?
What were you saying?
Oh, what your reveal? You started to watch.
I started my Game of Thrones rewatch. I'm back in it. Hey.
Hey. Thank you. Thank you.
I know.
How is it to be back in Westeros?
It's great. I've watched season one so far. I've not dug into two yet. I will say it is, pacing-wise, a little slower than I remembered. I mean, the later seasons, obviously, they kick up a notch. This first season feels a little slow. And there are definitely still some storylines that I really want to fast forward, but I told you I wouldn't, so I'm not. I'm watching all of it.
You have to, yep.
But there are like some of the Dany storyline stuff is like,
dog.
Yep, I get it. Like, we're in the desert. She's a slave. Let's keep moving. Feels a little slow, but that being said, seeing Sean Bean as Ned Stark again always gives me a thrill because I think he's one of the best characters in the history of the show, and just every scene with him is phenomenal. And seeing the growth of the acting, like obviously the child actors grow up throughout the series and they change their appearance as they grow, but they also like the acting quality from this first season to where it will be is like insane.
Peter Dinklage.
Yeah. That character's evolution is crazy.
By the end of the first season, you're like, holy shit, I don't even recognize this. And then by the end of the second season, you're like, this is one of the best actors of our time.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm excited for Jaime and Cersei as well, because they also start out in this first season as just like very stock villains. And so I'm excited to see their evolution and their performances. So no, I'm back in it for sure. Season 2, when Tyrion's Hand of the King is maybe my favorite season, so I'm excited to dig back into it. I'm glad to be back in Westeros. And we have like two episodes left of Dragon. So
yeah, Dragon's getting good.
And then Thrones will help fill the void until that comes back 4 years from now or whenever. These shows take so long.
I had a realization. When you're in it, everyone was obsessed with Dany and with Jon Snow. But now going back and watching it fresh, they're probably two of the weaker characters, at least in the first 2 to 3 seasons. Would you
certainly agree? Jon Snow. I think he's boring the whole time.
Whiny bitch.
Does interesting things, but as a character, he's very boring.
Like, he gets some moments, like Hard Home and Battle of the Bastards. He gets plenty of good moments. But yeah, but those are things that he's
doing, not like who he is internally as a person.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
No, it's all about the palace intrigue. It's all about Varys and Littlefinger and like those side conversations and the council meetings. Like, that's the joy of seeing it again, for sure.
Yep. All right. What are you going to watch soon? What do you got for tickets? Tickets here.
Tickets here.
Tickets, I have Deadpool and Wolverine coming up tomorrow as of this recording. So we'll have that review on the next episode.
Hell yeah.
Also got my ticket to see Trap, the new M. Night Shyamalan movie on opening day. Can't wait for that. And I got a ticket to see an early fan screening for Alien Romulus that I'm also very excited
for. What day is Romulus?
I
had a stroke,
okay?
Folks. I don't smell toast.
Do you need some water?
Well, I'm good. When is Romulus?
Opening night fan event, Thursday, August 15th, 7 in the PM. Okay.
Let me know how it is. I'm so hard for that.
Yeah, I'm excited for that one. And then tonight, I'm going to start this new Pete Rose documentary, a two-part baseball documentary on HBO. Yeah, excited to see what
that's
about.
Do you need it? Why?
You know, I've always heard about Pete Rose throughout my life. I'd like to dig in a little bit. Why not? I like sports docs.
Craig, huge a-hole, Pete Rose.
Oh, for sure.
Even care about the gambling. Just giant douche.
He's like the Joffrey of
good pull.
Baseball.
Good pull.
Just remember that. All right. Bill, take us away. And Craig, let's kick up a little music while we're at it, huh, boys?
So we get DMCA'd. Thank you for listening to the Should I Go podcast. I can't even get the name right.
No,
Should I Go, brother.
Probably not.
Let the Lord guide your words.
Thank you for listening to the Should I Go See It podcast. Please make sure to follow on Instagram @ShouldIGoSeeIt. See Twisters at your local theater. Yeehaw!